This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Adapting body language when communicating across neurodiversity. Read the room differently when the room reads you differently too. In short, most miscommunication across neurodiversity is not about what you say. It is about what your body does while you say it. Neurodivergent colleagues often process physical signals, such as eye contact, proximity, and gesture, very differently from neurotypical norms. Adapting body language is not about performing comfort you do not feel. It is about removing the unintended friction your body creates. Five practical frameworks give you a system to reach for when instinct is not enough. Definition: adapting body language means deliberately adjusting your physical signals, including posture, eye contact, gesture, and spatial distance, to reduce confusion and build trust when communicating with neurodivergent individuals. It is a learnable skill grounded in awareness and consistent practice. I once watched a talented manager lose the trust of her best analyst in a single meeting. She had no idea it was happening. She leaned forward, held steady eye contact to signal engagement, nodded continuously to show she was listening. Every instinct she had was working as it always had, but her analyst, who was autistic, read that sustained gaze and forward posture as pressure. He shut down mid-sentence. She thought he was disengaged. He thought she was confrontational. Neither was wrong, exactly. They were simply reading different versions of the same body language. What that manager needed, and what I will give you here, is a set of frameworks for adapting body language across the full range of how people actually process physical signals, including when the person across from you processes them very differently from how you do. Why good intentions are not enough. Your body speaks before your mouth opens. This is true in every conversation, but it matters most when your colleague's nervous system processes nonverbal signals in ways that diverge from the neurotypical assumptions baked into most communication advice. Neurodivergent individuals, including people on the autism spectrum, those with ADHD, and those with sensory processing differences, may find sustained eye contact threatening rather than warm, close physical proximity overwhelming rather than connective, and inconsistent facial expressions deeply confusing rather than expressive. Your instincts were shaped by a particular kind of social environment. They may not translate cleanly. The answer is not to guess, perform, or generalize across every neurodivergent person as though they are identical. The answer is to have a practical system that lets you observe, adjust, and build a communication style that actually serves the person in front of you. The five frameworks below are that system. If you also want to understand the broader landscape of leading neurodivergent team members well, Team Synergy Tips for Managers Leading Neurodivergent Team Members is worth reading alongside this. Five frameworks for adapting body language across neurodiversity. Framework 1. The PACE model: presence, alignment, calm, economy. What it is: a four-part system for regulating your own physical presence before and during a conversation. What it is designed for: situations where your colleague's nervous system is easily dysregulated by sensory input, whether from sound, movement, or the social pressure of being physically close to another person. How it works. Number 1. Presence. Arrive settled. Before you enter the conversation, slow your breathing and drop your shoulders. A regulated body is easier for a sensitive nervous system to be near. Number 2. Alignment. Position yourself at a slight angle rather than face on. Direct frontal orientation can feel confrontational. Sitting or standing at approximately a 45-degree angle reduces the pressure without signaling disengagement. Number 3. Calm. Keep your movement slow and predictable. No sudden turns, no rapid gesturing. Predictability in your physical behavior allows the other person to focus on your words rather than monitoring your body. Number 4. Economy. Use few gestures, not more. Neurodivergent colleagues, particularly those with sensory sensitivities or attention processing differences, can find excessive movement genuinely distracting. When to use it: any one-to-one conversation with a colleague who has sensory sensitivities, who visibly tenses at sudden movements, or who appears to track your physical behavior rather than your speech. When not to use it: group presentations, where stillness might read as disengagement from the audience. In those settings, some physicality serves a different purpose. Example: you need to give feedback to an autistic colleague. Instead of sitting squarely opposite him at a desk, you pull chairs slightly to the side so you're both facing a whiteboard. You rest your hands in your lap. You speak at a measured pace. He answers fully, without the shutdown you have seen in previous meetings. Here is the truth of it. This framework is less about technique and more about respect. You are telling someone, through your body, that you are safe to be near. Framework 2. The Eye Contact Spectrum Tool. What it is? A practical guide for calibrating eye contact across a spectrum of individual needs, from brief and intermittent to direct and sustained. What it is designed for? Navigating one of the most common points of friction in cross-neurotype communication. Many neurotypical conventions around eye contact are genuinely distressing for neurodivergent people, and ignoring this costs trust. How it works. Number 1. Observe the opening. In the first 30 seconds of a conversation, notice whether your colleague makes eye contact and, if so, for how long. This gives you a baseline. Number 2. Match, then adjust slightly downward. If they offer brief glances, you match brief glances. If they avoid eye contact almost entirely, you stop seeking it as a signal of engagement. Number 3. Find a neutral anchor. Aim your gaze at the space between the eyes, the bridge of the nose, or the general face area. This reads as attentive without the intensity of direct eye contact. Number 4. Never use sustained eye contact as a signal of sincerity. Many neurotypical communicators hold eye contact to say "I mean this." For autistic colleagues especially, that sustained gaze communicates something closer to threat. Number 5. Read the body, not the eyes. If eye contact drops, look for other engagement signals, whether they're still speaking, whether their posture is open, whether they're responding to your points. Lack of eye contact is not lack of interest. When to use it. Every conversation where you're getting mixed signals about engagement, particularly critical in performance conversations, where the stakes are high and misreading your colleague's signals can damage trust significantly, when not to use it as a rigid formula. Some neurodivergent people deliberately practice sustained eye contact because they have learned it is expected. If your colleague is clearly working hard to maintain eye contact, ease the pressure rather than mirroring their tension. Example: an ADHD colleague really looks directly at you during meetings, but she answers every question precisely and follows every thread. Once you stop reading her roaming gaze as rudeness, you can actually have a conversation. In my experience, the courage to let go of eye contact as the gold standard of attention is one of the most freeing things a communicator can do. Framework 3. The Proximity Calibration System. What it is? A structured method for reading and adjusting physical distance in real time. What it is designed for? Colleagues for whom personal space is not just a social preference, but a genuine sensory need. Invading that space, even with good intent, can trigger a stress response that makes meaningful communication impossible. How it works. Number 1. Start further than you think necessary. When meeting a colleague for the first time or in a new context, begin with more physical distance than you would normally default to. You can always close the gap. You cannot uncross it. Number 2. Watch for the micro signals. A slight backward lean, a shift in chair position, arms drawing inward, these are your cues that you are too close. Notice them before they become visible discomfort. Number 3. Never approach from behind or from an angle the person cannot see. Unexpected physical approaches are startling for many neurodivergent people and can make the interaction feel unsafe before a word is spoken. Number 4. Create a predictable approach pattern. If you regularly work with the same person, establish a consistent physical routine the same side of the room, the same relative position. Predictability reduces the cognitive load your presence creates. Number 5. Use furniture as a buffer when the situation allows. A desk, a table, or even a chair between you can provide the sensory boundary a colleague needs without either of you needing to name it. When to use it. Always, but especially in open plan offices, during feedback conversations, and in any meeting where the physical setup has not been chosen by the neurodivergent person. When not to use it. In crisis situations, where someone needs physical reassurance, physical proximity can, in the right context and with a trusted colleague, be genuinely supportive. Read the individual, not the rule. Example: you notice that a colleague always chooses the chair at the far end of the table. You stop reading this as antisocial. You stop greeting him by approaching from behind when he is at his desk. Small changes. The shift in the working relationship is not small at all. Let me tell you something I learned the hard way. Being too close and not knowing it is one of the quietest ways to lose someone's trust. Framework 4. The Gesture Reduction Method. What it is? A deliberate practice of slowing and simplifying your hand and body movements during conversation. What it is designed for. Colleagues with sensory processing differences or attention regulation challenges, for whom busy, rapid, or unpredictable gesture can be genuinely overwhelming or distracting. How it works. Number 1. Identify your baseline. Record yourself in a conversation if you can. Notice how much you gesture, how quickly, and whether your movements are predictable or spontaneous. Number 2. Replace animated gesturing with deliberate stillness. Rest your hands on your lap or the table. When you do gesture, make it slow, intentional, and tied to a specific point. Number 3. Use open palm gestures when you do move. Open hands signal transparency. Pointed fingers, closed fists, and crossed arms all carry signals your colleague may not interpret the way you intend. Number 4. Match your gestures to your words. A consistency between what your body does and what you say creates confusion. If you say "I'm not concerned" while your hands are tense, the body message will override the verbal one. Number 5. Check in periodically. After 10 minutes, notice whether your colleague's attention is tracking your speech or your hands. Adjust accordingly. When to use it. In detailed or emotionally significant conversations where clarity matters most. The more you need someone to process your words, the fewer signals you should be competing with. When not to use it entirely. Some colleagues find complete stillness unnerving. Use your observation from step 5 to calibrate rather than to freeze entirely. Example. You are explaining a project change to a colleague with ADHD. You slow your gestures, keep your hands mostly still, and pause between points. He stops asking you to repeat yourself. The meeting takes 10 minutes less than usual. For more on managing physical signals when the stakes are high, the article on nonverbal communication in 10 situations covers this in detail. Framework 5. The Consistency Signal Framework. What it is. A system for ensuring your face, voice, and body tell the same story at the same time. What it is designed for. Building trust with colleagues who find it difficult to pass ambiguous or contradictory nonverbal signals. When your facial expression, tone, and posture are misaligned, neurodivergent colleagues may fixate on the inconsistency rather than the content of your message. How it works. Number 1. Name your emotional state when you can. If you are frustrated, but trying to stay calm, saying "I want to be clear that I am not frustrated" with you gives your colleague information their instincts may not be supplying reliably. Number 2. Align your face with your message. If you are delivering difficult feedback, a neutral or slightly concerned expression is appropriate. A relaxed smile during hard news is confusing and will undermine your words. Number 3. Steady your voice to match your posture. A calm tone paired with tense shoulders sends two signals. Pick one. Choose calm throughout. Number 4. Avoid sarcasm. Sarcasm depends entirely on the listener reading the gap between literal words and implied meaning through tone and expression. Many neurodivergent people hear the literal words. The joke fails. The relationship absorbs the damage. Number 5. After the conversation, ask. A simple "was that clear?" or "did anything land oddly?" is not weakness. It is the kind of genuine check that earns respect. When to use it. In any conversation where the content is emotionally significant, performance reviews, project corrections, sensitive team discussions. For guidance on making sure these conversations include every voice in the room, see how to ensure every participant gets heard. When not to use it as a performance. Consistency is a habit, not a mask. If you are performing calm while feeling something else entirely, that tension leaks. Practice until the frameworks and your actual state begin to align. Example. You are running a team meeting where a decision has not gone a colleague's way. You keep your expression neutral and your posture open. You name the difficulty directly. I know this is not the outcome you hoped for. The conversation stays productive. Nothing festers. The core framework for staying grounded in tense conversations pairs well with this one for the moments when your own regulation is the challenge. Choosing the right framework for the situation. Not every framework fits every moment. This guide helps you match the tool to the need. Situation start here. Colleague is visibly tense or shut down pace model. Eye contact feels like a source of friction. Eye contact spectrum tool. Colleague consistently moves away or seems crowded proximity. Calibration system. Attention appears scattered during conversation. Gesture reduction method. Mixed signals are causing repeated confusion. Consistency signal framework. High stakes feedback or conflict. Consistency signal framework plus pace model. A small note on using these together. The frameworks are not competing. In a difficult performance conversation with an autistic colleague, you might draw on PACE to regulate your presence, the eye contact spectrum tool to ease the social pressure, and the consistency signal framework to ensure your message lands as intended. Start with one. Add others as they become second nature. For meetings where multiple neurodivergent team members are present, the challenge of adapting body language multiplies. Running inclusive meetings with diverse teams offers practical structure for exactly that context. Where these frameworks break down. Even good tools fail when they are applied poorly. Here are the three mistakes I see most often. The mistake: treating all neurodivergent people as interchangeable. Why it happens. Labels like autistic or ADHD feel like instruction manuals, so people apply one-size solutions. What to do instead? Use the frameworks as observation tools, not assumptions. Watch how this specific person responds. Adjust from there. The mistake: performing adaptation rather than practicing it. Why it happens. Someone reads a list of adjustments and tries to apply all of them at once. It feels forced. Their colleague notices. What to do instead? Choose one framework. Apply it in one relationship for 2 weeks. Notice what shifts before adding anything else. The mistake: ignoring how meetings amplify the problem. Why it happens. Managers focus on one-to-one interactions and forget that group settings multiply the sensory load significantly. What to do instead? Think about seating, lighting, and movement before the meeting starts. For managing dominant voices that can add to this pressure, how to deal with dominant voices in a discussion is a useful companion. And if conflict does arise, the physical signals you send in those moments matter enormously. How to handle conflict during meetings addresses exactly this. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building fluency over time. Frameworks give you the map. Practice gives you the ground beneath your feet. In the first week, pick one framework and one relationship. Keep a brief note at the end of each interaction what you adjusted, how the person responded, what you will try differently next time. Do this for a month before adding a second framework. In weeks 5 through 8, bring the second framework into a different relationship. Notice how much easier the first one has become. Fluency comes from repetition in real conditions, not from reviewing the theory. By the third month, you will find that several of these adjustments have stopped feeling like adjustments at all. They have become how you move through a conversation. That is the goal. The skills you are building here extend well beyond neurodivergent communication. The discipline of regulating your physical presence, slowing your signals, and watching for individual responses makes you a cleaner communicator with everyone. For a related set of skills on managing your own physical signals under pressure, see nonverbal communication in 10 situations. Adapting body language is not a kindness you extend to certain colleagues. It is the standard of care every communicator should reach for. The person who can read a room, adjust their physical presence in real time, and build trust through the clarity of their signals is the person others trust to lead difficult conversations. That person can be you. Start with one framework. Trust the practice. Let the ground become solid under your feet. Frequently asked questions. What is adapting body language in neurodivergent communication? Adapting body language means consciously adjusting your physical signals, such as eye contact, proximity, and gestures, to reduce friction and build trust when communicating with neurodivergent colleagues. It is not about performing differently. It is about removing unintended barriers your body may be creating. Why does body language affect neurodivergent people differently? Many neurodivergent people, including those with autism or ADHD, process nonverbal signals differently from neurotypical norms. Intense eye contact can feel threatening. Rapid gestures can be distracting. Physical proximity can trigger sensory discomfort. Awareness of these differences helps you adjust before they become barriers. How do you adapt body language without appearing unnatural? Start with one small change at a time. Soften your eye contact, slow your gestures, or create a little more physical distance. Small, deliberate adjustments made consistently become natural over time. You are not performing. You are practicing until the new habit replaces the old one. What body language signals are most disruptive for autistic colleagues? Prolonged direct eye contact, sudden changes in proximity, fast or unpredictable hand movements, and inconsistency between your facial expression and tone can all create confusion or distress for autistic colleagues. Stillness, predictability, and consistency in your physical signals tend to build trust far more effectively. Can adapting body language improve team communication overall? Consistently, when you become more deliberate about your physical signals, you become a cleaner communicator with everyone, not just neurodivergent colleagues. The discipline of slowing down, reducing ambiguity, and reading individual responses improves the quality of every interaction you have. How long does it take to build new body language habits? Expect 4 to 8 weeks of deliberate practice before an adjusted behavior starts to feel natural. Choose one framework, apply it in one relationship, and notice what changes. Fluency comes from repetition in real situations, not from studying the theory. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.